It's our goal to unite these three apparently disparate entities into one when we look at the phenomenon of depression. When we look at the body, we're going to be looking at the biochemical basis of depression, how it can be managed medically, and how clinically we monitor medical management from a physical perspective. In terms of the mind, we're going to be looking at the psychoanalytic interpretations of depression, the clinical use of dreams, and we're going to be looking at the way depression has been conceptualized in three major schools of psychoanalytic thought. It's been pathologized, it's been looked at as a developmental phenomenon, and it's been looked at as something hopeful pointing to the future, and we're going to be looking at all three of those. Then we're also going to be looking at the spirit of depression, which has to do with depression from the archetypal perspective. What's the archetypal ground of depression, and how in depression is the self and the ego related? How are these entities of psyche related? So that's our goal. We would like to let you know that we're open to questions at any time. We're also going to give you an opportunity to write questions down on cards that we'll handle tomorrow. So even though there's quite a few of us, we would like to at least have the awareness among you that we are open to questions and would like to engage in a dialogue with you as much as that would be possible. When we look at the psychoanalytic interpretations of depression, we really have three separate schools of thought. And for the purpose of argument or discussion, I'm going to divide them into the orthodox Freudian, the Kleinian, and the Jungian perspective, all of which are ways of looking at depression. And as I go through the various theories that are represented in this overhead, I'd like you to keep the structure of the overhead in mind, because rather than think of these theories in a historical way or in a pro and con type of way, I think we need to look at them as all varying ways of looking at depression, each having their own wisdom to bring to the phenomenon of depression. Yeah. We'll begin with the Freudian formulation on depression, which is the one I think that most people know about when they think about depression. And depression, of course, is the phenomenon where psychic energy or libido is completely unavailable to the ego. That's the characteristic quality of depression. It may be reported as feelings of sadness, emptiness, loss, but the overwhelming characteristic, the overriding characteristic of depression and depressive disorders is the lack of energy available to the ego, the lack of libido or psychic energy available to the ego. And each of the various ways of conceptualizing depression deals with that lack of connection between the ego and libido in particular ways, and it's the way that the various schools of thought view that phenomenon that makes the difference, not only in the way depression is conceptualized, but also in the way depression is treated. In the Freudian formulation, Freud distinguished between mourning and melancholia. Freud distinguished between melancholia and mourning with respect to the nature of the experienced loss. So Freud looked at depression or melancholia and mourning as an experience of loss of a loved object or loved person. Mourning is the reaction to the loss of a loved person, and melancholia represents the same reaction, but the course of the condition differs markedly from mourning. Now, I should say that when we look at Freud, we're looking at a drive or libido cathexis theory, which is the way we can distinguish orthodox Freudian formulations from Kleinian formulations. Kleinian formulations tend to be object relations formulations, and I'll tell you what that is when we talk about Klein. But Freud, generally, we think of Freudian thought as being drive-oriented, meaning there is something within the individual that is impulsing the individual outward. And the word that Freud uses for sending libido or psychic energy outward is cathexis. Cathexis or investment, the investment of libido in an object outside of oneself. Now the reason that we say Freud is a drive theory rather than an object relations theory is that orthodox Freudian thought tends to look more intensely at the act of cathexis from the person doing the investment outward. So it's the drive to cathect that Freud focuses on. Klein looks more at what the object is or what the object represents. So that's a big difference, and that's, I think, where the theories differ. The work of mourning, says Freud, consists of withdrawing libido from attachment to a lost object. So in mourning, libido has been cathected or attached or invested in an object outside of oneself. And when that object is lost, through death, through argument, through divorce, through moving away, whatever, the libido has to be decathected, has to be brought back into the individual, and then displaced onto a new object at some point. That's the work of mourning, or what we would call more, in more modern terms, grief work. The idea that we pull the libido back, we pull the psychic energy back, and then find a new place to invest it. In melancholia, or depression, there's a loss of a loved object, but it's not exclusively an outer object. So something has happened, boundary-wise, in the cathexis of libido, in the investment of libido in the so-called outside object, that when the outside object is lost, it isn't quite so simple as just pulling back the libido and recathecting it. It's not simply a matter of taking it back and displacing it onto something else. Something within the depressed person has been cathected to or placed on or hung on the lost object, so that it's not just an outer object that's been lost, but something of oneself, a part of oneself, seems to be missing. Freud says that in mourning, the world has become poor and empty. But in depression or melancholia, it's the ego that has become poor and empty. So we're looking at a phenomenon where contents of the ego have been placed on an outer object, and when that outer object goes away, those contents are gone. An aspect of consciousness goes into the unconscious and is experienced as lost in depression. Because clearly, if we look at it from the point of view of what we might want to call reality, if an object is lost, nothing of me is actually lost. So what happens is whatever I had placed on that object becomes unavailable to me in depression, and it goes deep in the unconscious and is as good as gone with that other person. So the outer object doesn't only carry libido that's been directed toward it, but also part of me. Melancholia can lead to behaviors and attitudes that threaten life itself. Because when the ego feels empty, when it feels like a part of us has gone, very often the will to live is taken with it. In depression, the individual becomes incapable of love and work, which in Freudian terms are the two hallmarks of hell. But that's secondary to a loss of energy that the ego experiences due to the internal work of depression. Now, it's this aspect of the internal work of depression that really doesn't get treated adequately, I feel, until we get to a Jungian formulation. But there are sort of hints in Freudian writings that in depression, although our therapeutic goal is to re-energize the person to love and to work, there is something going on within the individual in depression. There's an inner work that's happening, although it's completely separate from the ego. And the ego just has to sort of endure and recathect as well as it possibly can until finally energy starts to come up again. Freud believed that what happens in depression or melancholia is that the attachment of libido to the particular object of love or desire was actually a narcissistic cathexis. Now, you might know in Freudian thought we get narcissism somewhere, because that's viewed as purely pathological in a classical Freudian framework. But because it's a narcissistic cathexis, it's a cathexis that the individual requires to be present in order for the individual to feel whole. That's the essence of a narcissistic investment of libido. I invest my libido in a so-called outer object so that that outer object can mirror back to me what I need to know about myself, what I need to feel about myself. That's the wounding in narcissism, is that we desperately need to be mirrored. We weren't mirrored at an appropriate time, so we continue to attempt to get that mirroring through the cathexis of our libido on outer objects that will inevitably fail us, because it's impossible for us to create what we need narcissistically through investing our libido in an outside object. But it's that narcissistic cathexis that is the pathological situation that leads to depression. Object loss, then, gets transformed into ego loss, because not only have I lost an object, I've lost my mirror. And my narcissistic wound, the wound of not being seen, gets debrided. It gets made hurtful again. So whatever healing there may have been, whatever calluses may have formed around the wound, gets scraped away, because the loved object is gone, my mirror is gone, I am at a loss, that energy is gone.